In the name of the triune God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will read the holy word of God from the sixth chapter of Matthew, from verses 25 to 34, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment or your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need for all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here we heard the speech of Jesus. This was a short portion from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was a sermon kept by Jesus where he spoke of many questions of many important matters of life and faith. Right before this text that we read, he spoke about mammon and how a person cannot at the same time serve two masters. In this text portion, Jesus speaks about the sorrows of making a livelihood. In the first verse, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you eat or what you drink, or nor yet for your body, and what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body better than raiment or clothes? What does it mean to be concerned or be sad or find sorrow of something? Is it not this, that your mind is a little bit downcast? There are worries or cares, and these worries perhaps are joined to hopelessness and insecurity of the future, about the future. Perhaps there is a little bit of bitterness included when one compares one's own life to another person's life. And what is this worrying, what lacks in this worrying is trust. Trust in this, that what is the significance of God in one's life. And this is what Jesus desires to teach, that what is trust. He takes two examples here. He paints with the examples from nature, says that look at the birds of the air, for they do not sow, nor do they reap, and they don't take anything into barns, but the Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you better than they are? God has created all of us. Humans He has created to steward His created world. Our lives are in the hands of God. He is the author of our life, and He is the upkeeper of our life. He is also the finisher of our lives when He sees best. And now, when He tells about the example of the birds of the air, how they have no cares, how freely they fly. They do not care for the morrow, for tomorrow. And this is an example for us of people, for us people, that we should trust in the guidance of God. In this second example, Jesus speaks of how God brings the lilies into the field. Is that one day it stands and the next day it is thrown into the fire? Are you not more than this, you of little faith? Is this not of our necessities and our clothes? These two basic needs that we have, food and clothes, these are things that we need. How God takes care of the birds of the nature and of the grasses of the field. Of course, He takes care of them. Then, of course, He's going to take care of humans as well, of people as well. And this biblical portion in the Bible, it's said here, it's spoken of. We have this holy carelessness. Or is this not caring about something, meaning that we can just rest on our laurels? We can just be, exist, and God will take care of us. No, this is not in this way being careless and carelessness of life. God has created us to carry responsibility and to work. And Paul writes in the book of Colossians that what you do it of a full heart, as you would do to the Lord, not to people. God has created each one of us, has made us different, has given us all gifts that we can and we should use here in this life, that we can make a living for ourselves and for those people who are dependent on us. The work shelters us from idleness and the dangers of idleness. But in all work, we can remember that everything is a gift from God, even success that we experience. It is not our own merit, but it is alone the merit of God, and it should be given to God. And how, dear listener, how do you feel? Do you ever worry? Have you ever worried that what will happen in my life? When in our lives, when we have prosperity and success, many times we think that it's easy to trust in the guidance of God. But in our human nature, we also have, it's significant, but when things are going well, sometimes God is forgotten. It feels that the success comes is because of my own merits. Sometimes we forget that it's good to thank God for those successes. And sometimes in life when we have adversity, the trust sometime is tried. And Jesus speaks about the worry over livelihood, how each and every one of us surely has had in our lives. Perhaps unemployment has come. Perhaps there are some great debts, monetary debts, and we'll never get over, may never pay them back. For if God, for example, if God has given a large family, sometimes the question of supporting them is in question. But here, Jesus wants to remind us to trust God. It's good and right that we carry the responsibility and we acknowledge our own weaknesses and our own worries and cares, but it is not an intention that we would become exhausted and tired under these matters, or that we would begin to rebel against God. To make decisions which are against the will of God. In these situations, it's good for us to remember that God will take care of me, even if he tries me. In life, there may be other types of trials. For example, of supporting our family. In addition to supporting our family, there may be sickness or illness. Is it bedridden, to be bedridden? Perhaps there are problems in relationships with those close to us, between spouses, between family members, or between people that are close to us. Perhaps there may be situations in life where it feels that there's a wall in front of us. Perhaps someone close to us is taken away. And it feels as that there's no path that we can travel along. There's no steps away that we can move on. Or maybe there's other sorrows or cares that it feels that no solutions can be found for. In these types of situations, may it be so that we do not become bitter in the situation, but we would have strength to believe that God exists. Even though in those situations it may feel that God is making the wrong decisions, solutions, these human trials are unbearable, but we cannot blame God. God is almighty. He is God. We cannot measure what He is doing with our human and carnal measurements, human-like measurements. And in this trust and the guidance of God also is contentment and humility or humbleness belong to this. Many times God leads us and in our lives to go along very strange types of paths that we do not even understand. But we have to be content. Sometimes we'll have answers to the questions, some of these questions. And in this way, it's good to remember to the power of prayer. The prayer, it is the speech of the heart to God. And we can tell God of our worries and our sorrows. God has promised to hear and to answer all these prayers. For, dear friend, it may seem that God has not answered your requests, but God has heard them. Perhaps the answer is different than what you are expecting. The answers of God, we can ask for this humility and contentment or satisfaction. A believer's life belongs there. It includes that there are the hymns and the songs of Zion. We can receive comfort and refreshment and strengthen of our faith in hymn 389. The songwriter comforts us that when you give your life under the God, when God carries your sorrows and your cares, He who has created you, He is the one who gives you life. He knows all of your needs. He helps and wants to help you. Is it not comforting to think that God guides our lives? And Paul in the book of Philippians says, do not worry about anything, but you will always get everything when you pray to God and thank the knowledge of God. And in this way, we are comforted and guided where we would have trust in God. And we have to all learn, and we have to remember our homework in these matters. And then in our text continues when Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I could say that in here we have the main message of our text. Jesus commands us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we are commanded to seek something, there's a promise to find. And how can one find the kingdom of God? Luke writes in his gospel, when the Pharisees were asking Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Jesus answers that the kingdom of God does not come in this way that you can observe it, or you cannot say that it is here or it is there. "Behold, look, the kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is in your midst. The Pharisees were not able to see this. When Jesus began his work here on this earth, he preached that the time has come nigh and the kingdom of God is approaching you. Repent and believe the gospel. And this is what Jesus preached and proclaimed. The kingdom of God approaches those people in the form of Jesus. Jesus presented this invitation into the kingdom of God, and his disciples received this invitation and accepted it. And there were also others who accepted this invitation, and they were able to receive this gift of faith, the gift of faith and power and strength to believe. But then there were many, many more of those who did not believe. And even though Jesus was the teacher and surely the best teacher, people did not believe. Even though the kingdom of God was in their midst. And in this we can see the great love of God towards sinful man, that the kingdom of God, the work of Jesus, did not end when he ascended into heaven to be with God the Father. He gave his disciples a duty, a task, to preach the gospel. And he did not only give it to the disciples, but he gave it to all believers. All believers were given this duty and task to preach the gospel of forgiveness of sins. It is the great grace and love of God that this gospel of forgiveness can be our strength and our power even today. And that today, when we have been able to gather here at summer services, that here we can be preaching this same gospel of grace that God has yet here on this earth, His own kingdom, that the King is Jesus Christ Himself, uses and has invited us into the kingdom of God. He holds us and keeps us as His children in this kingdom. Is this not an amazing thing? That we can preach this joyous message of the redemption work of Jesus, that Jesus died for all people on the cross. He carried all of the burdens of all the sins of all of us when He died on the cross. But God, the goodwill of God is that Jesus rose from the grave on Easter morning, and there was a sign that death, which is the rewards of death, or the rewards of sin, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And this message then was told from the message of the grave on Easter morning. But there was also another message going forth, and this was a message that the disciples have stolen the body of Jesus, that Jesus is not resurrected. And these two messages have come through the millennia until today. And we can hear both of these messages yet today. Which message do you want to believe, dear listener to the Word? Is it not great, the great work of God, that He loves you, a sinful person, so much that He gave this work of salvation, that whosoever believeth that Jesus has atoned for your sins, when you believe this gospel, one day you will become a dweller in the kingdom of God. And with this promise, And when you can own this faith yourself, one day you will reach heaven. There is no better promise than this promise. Dear listener who feels that you do not yet own this gift of faith, you have now, at this moment, a possibility to believe unbelief and all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And go travel together with the flock of God's children. And it's good to travel with the God's children. You do not have to believe all by yourself. You can believe together with the other children of God. And this speech of Jesus, he directed it at the children or the disciples. And why did Jesus have to remind the kingdom, the disciples, about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for they had already found the kingdom of God? Jesus knew that these disciples were weak in faith. I believe, dear brother and sister, that you also feel in your own heart how faith is weak. That we can be believing, it does not make us without sin and sinning. We have two portions, and when we have two portions, we travel along this in this earth, we fall into sin. God has created us and given us our gifts. And for us, we have, each one of us have our own weaknesses. And the enemy of souls knows each one of our weaknesses and can attack at those parts. And we fall into sin. And if the burden of sin comes that we do not have strength to put it away, little bit by little bit, faith dries up in the heart. And it's good. And we should be watchful in faith and ask of ourselves, do I belong to this group? Am I in this flock of God's children? Are my sins forgiven? I believe this is what Jesus wanted to remind the disciples of, that they would have strength, that moment by moment ask themselves, that am I traveling on this way? Have I been preserved as a child of God? And this is for us children of God in this time. This is a good question. It's good to ask of ourselves that, how are things with me? Am I still traveling on the way? We live in a world where it feels as if there are just more and more new things coming up. And things are looked at from new or different perspectives. And even the minds of believers is maybe a little bit even amazed that what should I be thinking about the goings-on of the world? And in those situations, perhaps faith is tried, and faith may become weak. And it is good then to remember what God has said in his word, and what is the most important matter in our life, that we would have strength to believe that all of our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And you, dear listener to the word, you who is here in this service tent or out in the service area, and perhaps you who are listening on the radio or on the internet and have not perhaps been able to make it to services, you have permission today to believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And in this gospel, we have the power of life, and it will carry us to the end in heaven. And when we can believe in this way, it brings peace onto our conscience. And Paul writes very beautifully to the Romans that the kingdom of God is not food or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. What the Holy Spirit gives. The gospel of the forgiveness of sins gives peace into our heart, into our conscience. And the peace of God is above all human understanding. In that peace, it is good for us to travel. And when we have remembered, when we have spoken of these matters of this text, and we have talked about the trials of life, and why does God allow these trials for people, and each one has perhaps a different trial. In our own perspective is very short and very narrow. We live now and here in time. And when we can assess the situations in our lives, but God, He always thinks from the perspective of eternity that one day we would reach heaven. And for that reason, it's worthwhile to believe. Believe, dear listener, all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and blood, believe all sins forgiven. All sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. All sins are forgiven. Is it not good to believe in this way? That we can be with this flock of God's children and travel together towards our destination in glory in heaven. For that reason, we are believing. Dear brothers and sisters, I come while preparing for this sermon. I have received many messages and received much support. It has given me strength to do this duty, but I have had many doubts, and I feel my sinfulness. Can I also believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with the flock of God's children. In Jesus' name, amen.